This is the Banner of Truth broadcast, a ministry of the Free Reformed Churches of North America. Pastor Eric Mordyke speaking. Our scripture reading is Matthew 11, verse 27. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knows the Son but the Father, neither knows any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. We have been considering God's sovereignty in salvation, meaning God hides or reveals salvation as it pleases him. Last time we started considering the qualifications of Jesus Christ to be the one who reveals this salvation. He is the link between God's hiding and revealing salvation and the free open call of verse 26, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He is the one who knows everything and can do whatever he pleases. This time we need to focus on the delightful intimacy of this truth. Now, at first glance, the middle words of verse 27 could have been left out. If Jesus had simply said, "All things have been delivered to me," and then gone on to say, "The Son needs to reveal the Father," we would not think anything is missing. Jesus, however, draws our attention to the relationship between himself as God's Son and God the Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father fully except the Son. Now, what is being said here? More than simply repeating the obvious that Jesus is fully God, these words take us deep into the wonder of who the triune God is. Jesus says, "No one knows the Son except the Father." Here the focus is not just on knowing about the Son, but in knowing the Son. We could say knowing the Son inside and out, knowing all there is to know about the Son, with the knowledge of a lover who is thrilled with what he knows. A good marriage hints at it, doesn't it? You can learn to know each other so well that you can almost read each other's mind. God the Father and Christ the Son do read each other's mind perfectly. This truth, on the one hand, warns us that if you want to understand who Jesus Christ is, then you need to hear what God the Father says about him. Otherwise, if you depend on what people say about him, you will go wrong. This is why there are so many cults, and why there are a number of groups calling themselves churches who do not know the gospel. They depend on human opinion and do not accept God's testimony about his own Son and his Word. Why do we need to be so firm about this? Because if your ideas about God the Father or Christ the Son ignore any part of their words about each other, you are robbing God of his glory. Our knowledge of each other is often stained with sin and with blind spots. With us there are secrets, things we hide from each other. This means in our relationships there are painful surprises. How often on the news when someone is convicted of a crime, you hear their neighbors or families say during an interview, "But I never thought he would do something like this." The Father and Son are never surprised at each other this way. They are completely thrilled with each other. Always. They enjoy each other's fellowship in a knowledge so intimate and full of love, trust, and joy that it is only possible to hint at it with human words. Now, why is this such good news that Jesus puts it right in the heart of a passage about salvation? Because salvation is not so much learning information as it is learning to know the triune God personally. God gives salvation by giving himself. He gives the greatest possible gift, his Son, the one in whom he delights. He says, "Here, have him, not only as Savior, but know him. Let me introduce you to him." And Christ sees things precisely the same way. His greatest joy is to introduce God the Father, to teach his people to share in the knowledge and delight that the Father and the Son have in each other. Think of this example. Imagine a young man who has a very good relationship with his parents. While he is off in college in another province, he meets the woman of his dreams. What does he want to do? He wants to introduce her to his parents, and he wants to introduce his parents to her. He wants these people whom he loves to enjoy each other just like he does. So he brings them together with a tremendous sense of privilege. When he gets a moment alone with his parents, he says, "Isn't she great?" He asks her as they do devotions together, "What did you think?" Nothing pleases him more than hearing that they appreciate each other. This is how God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son relate to sinners. God the Father reveals who Christ is to sinful people. Jesus Christ reveals who God the Father is to sinful people. Both of them take great pleasure in the introduction. Nothing pleases Jesus more than to take the people whom he has lovingly chosen and introduce them to the Father, whom he loves more than anyone else. That is why Jesus gives thanks to God that he has been made the mediator to introduce God and sinners. He does his work with a tremendous sense of privilege and joy. It is as if Christ says, "Nothing thrills me more." Being saved means that Jesus introduces you to the Father and says, "What do you think of him?" And then he turns to his people and says, "Isn't he great and worthy of your love and of your trust?" Another example, sometimes at a wedding you see a skit or you hear a story that makes you say, "I don't understand. What is the point? Why is everyone laughing?" Because it's an inside joke, and only when you know the story behind it or know the experiences that the people telling the story have had together, only then can you appreciate it. Jesus Christ has been sent as the Son of God the Father to give you inside knowledge into how the Father and Son enjoy each other. He lets you into the circle, as it were, so that you can taste and share in God's delight in being God. You are fed with just the leftovers, as it were, of God's being God. That's all you can handle. But it's enough to give reason for joy, awe, praise, delight, and love through all eternity. You may want to say to me, "But how can this be? What does God see in us? Sins? Shortcomings? Why doesn't he just push us away?" This truly is the wonder of the gospel. God is not changed for the worse by contact with us, but we are changed for the better and made like him. When God the Father opens your eyes to know Jesus, and when Jesus brings you to know the Father, you become a different person. You become like them. That is salvation. Do you understand now why God the Father enjoys it when Christ introduces people to him and brings them to a greater knowledge of the Father? It's as if Christ says to the Father, "What do you think?" And he replies, "I see your face and image in them. I am delighted." What father has not known the thrill of seeing his face reflected in his own son? Or what grandfather has not enjoyed his little grandsons bearing the family image? God the Father enjoys seeing Christ in those whom Christ introduces to know the Father. That is why the Father says, "I adopt them as my children so that they can share the family likeness." This is the wonder of the gospel. What riches are hidden in these simple words. And people dare to say that God, the doctrine of God's sovereign choice in salvation, is cold, hard, and brutal. Nothing could be further from the truth. That is a complete twisting of the facts. What about you? Doesn't hearing it make you want to say, "I want to know them. I want to receive the greatest gift anyone could receive of learning to know this God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit"? That is the whole point. That is why this verse is put here, right in the middle of a passage on coming to Christ. How could you not want to know this God? What is even more important than the question of if you want to know God is how much Jesus Christ is thrilled to make his Father known to those whom he saves. Just listen to our text again, this time with the emphasis on the last line. "No man knows the Son but the Father, neither knows any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." You could translate this, whoever the Son chooses to enlighten. Here again we should read this text with the same tone as the prayer of thanksgiving, in which Jesus joyfully says, I thank thee, Father. If you were to ask your Son to introduce you to the love of his life, would he do it? If you ask the Lord Jesus Christ to introduce you to God the Father, the love of his life, making him known to you, will he do it? Just listen to the invitation that follows our text. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Do you remember why we are considering the qualifications of Jesus Christ? Because you need to know who it is you will be asked in the next verse to come to. We will spell out what this means when we consider the next verses. For now, all you need to know is that to come to Christ means to believe in him and to ask him to introduce you to God, making you know God through him. We see this especially in the cross. There Jesus reveals the Father, not just the wrath of the Father against sin, but the love of the Father, who was willing to punish his Son for all the sins committed by those who come to Christ. Romans 5 put it like this: if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more we shall be saved by his life. Meaning what? If he died to be able to bring God and sinners together, his whole life now will be devoted to revealing the Father to those who come to him. What about you? Let's start with the people of God. At times your sins and shortcomings discourage you, so that you wonder if Christ will turn his back on you. Jesus Christ never gets tired of his work of salvation. The millionth time is just as delightful to him as the first time. He could think of no greater thrill. Trust him. Come to him day by day, as long as you live. For all things are in his hands, and they could not be in better hands. Oh, how you should love him, trust him, hope in him, confide in him, pour out your heart before him, and daily travel to God through the hub, Jesus Christ. What about you? Especially those of you who have not come to him for the first time. Those who have not learned to delight in God the Father through Christ the Son. How can you live with not knowing God? Maybe you are so busy knowing other people, even though your dearest do disappoint and annoy you sometimes. Knowing God is never like this. How could you not want to know him? This has to be stressed, because far too easily the sinner thinks Christianity is about rules, about do's and don'ts. Important as these are, the heart of it is Christ, and through him, knowing God. And it's when you learn to know him that his do's and don'ts become good news, not bad news. It's the beauty of Christ and of God that is the heart of the gospel. Today, this beauty is being proclaimed to you again. Come to Christ before it is too late. Believe in him before he leaves you forever to carry your heavy burden and load alone, that heavy burden of not knowing the delightful Father, the delightful Son, and the delightful Holy Spirit.
If you would like a free printed copy of this message for yourself or a friend, write to Banner of Truth Broadcast, 9698 Epp Drive, Chilliwack, British Columbia, Canada. The postal code is V2P6N6. That's V2P6N6. For more information about the Free Reformed Churches of North America, you can go to frcna.org. Again, frcna.org on the internet. Thanks for listening. Tune in again next week at the same time for the Banner of Truth radio broadcast.